Misinformation about the new coronavirus is spreading on social media even faster than the virus itself. Can it be stopped? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. Earlier this week, Facebook, Google, Microsoft's LinkedIn, Reddit, Twitter, and YouTube sent out a joint statement saying they would be working closely together to combat misinformation about COVID-19, while also working to build community. But social media companies have said they were fighting misinformation before, without a lot of meaningful impact. Let's dig into this in Quality Assurance, the segment where we take a deeper look at a big tech story. Shira Ovidey covers technology at the New York Times. I asked her what these platforms are doing differently.
I think what some of the big tech companies have said is that they're collaborating on best practices to help spread good information and tamp down on bad information. So what that means practically is that you're seeing on places like YouTube and at the top of your Facebook or Instagram feed information that those companies are pushing you from the World Health Organization or credible news organizations. What we're seeing here is basically a wholesale rewriting of internet governance by these large companies on the fly because of this crisis.
Doesn't this raise many of the kind of same issues that have always been raised, which is, can we trust these platforms to identify this stuff and get it right?
Absolutely. I think all those same anxieties about the power of these tech companies is still there. What is the right balance between kind of free speech and free spread of good information and tamping down on bad information? And these companies don't always make good decisions. They don't enforce their own rules effectively, or they do so inconsistently. So all those same problems are there. It just feels muted by the urgency of this public health crisis.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like it is often the case that in an emergency, power gets flexed in ways that are not undone after the fact. And so I just wonder, like, will there be a taking advantage? Will there be a reset in some way of the roles and the goals if they flex all the power at once?
All the problems of the big internet spaces, they're all still there. And you're right, this could be a situation where the internet companies become more empowered, more emboldened, as much as they have before, to, you know, patrol what happens, to collect more information about people, particularly if there's pressure on them to collect information for kind of health tracing sorts of things. It just feels like it's not the most urgent question right now for these tech companies.
I want to clarify, do you think it's not the most urgent question internally or externally or both?
Both. I think, yeah.
Right. So if they are successful, is it going to show that they could have been successful at this all along?
In some way, a public health crisis, a global pandemic, is much more black and white than all these other issues that the companies deal with on a day-to-day basis. So maybe the rules that they're writing for something that is so urgent, you know, endangering the health of many millions of people, maybe that doesn't apply to all the day-to-day stuff that that these companies deal with, or the kinds of internet communication that happens on a regular basis. But we'll see.
If it succeeds, will there be any going back in terms of content moderation?
I think there will be going back because, again, the kinds of black and white issues that a pandemic presents are different than, do we allow Trump to tweet things that seem vaguely threatening? Or what do we do about misinformation that's spreading in India? Those are things that are either less black and white or maybe not at the top of the priority pile for these big companies. And this coronavirus crisis is different because it's both extremely urgent. Everybody is making this their top priority. And it's so cut and dried, the choices they have to make.
Is it that cut and dried, though? I mean, like, what is Twitter going to do about President Trump? Who has sincerely tweeted misinformation, you know, or at a time when there is not that much known about how many cases there are in the United States or about how the virus behaves or about whether it infects children. You know, there is a lot of sort of like speculation and theorizing, in some cases from expert sources, in some cases maybe not. But, you know, it feels to me like it's still pretty hard.
You're right. It's a good point that I think there are still going to be edge cases. I'm also particularly worried about misinformation spreading in smaller groups. We've seen things like Facebook groups and WhatsApp, which are sort of, again, private messages or private postings, where those are places where even pre-coronavirus, that dangerous misinformation started to spread. And it's much harder for those big internet companies to police that kind of stuff. So you're right that I think there are going to be hard calls. And I think part of the issue is going to be that people are paying close attention, but I think it just feels so urgent for the companies to do something that they're going to get a lot of slack. Again, for good or for ill, they're being the power that we worried about these big tech companies having, now we want them to flex that power.
Shira Ovide covers technology at the New York Times. Her soon-to-launch newsletter is On Tech with Shira Ovide. And now for some related links. On Wednesday, Twitter said it would ban and remove tweets that were spreading misinformation in a way that could actually cause the new coronavirus itself to spread faster. It took down tweets by some prominent people, including two that encouraged people to take to the streets and also encouraged businesses to defy orders to close down or shelter in place. Researchers in Italy who track misinformation and bots online analyzed more than 121 million tweets based on their emotional content as well as misinformation and found that, quote, the amount of unreliable news is a huge potential threat to public health. The World Health Organization has labeled it an infodemic, but experts said it is prompting an opposite and hopefully equal response from fact checkers. Part of the problem, they say, is a lack of good information to counter the bad. The researchers also found that on the emotional front, quote, the whole world is sad, which I can't lie, broke my heart a little bit. On the Facebook side of things, CEO Mark Zuckerberg has started doing live streams with health experts like Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and America's doctor right now. But CNN has a piece pointing out what Shira Ovide also noted. Facebook's biggest misinformation problem is WhatsApp and news that spreads quickly in closed groups. And here's what else we're watching in tech. We've been talking this week about the internet, its necessity, how it's holding up. And despite solid performance in the early days, listeners report that some cracks are starting to show. Europe has asked Netflix and YouTube to help ease the burden by reducing video quality for 30 days to standard definition from high definition. Netflix has agreed. And just like for some sheer nerdery for a moment, Intel is releasing a new research system for something called neuromorphic computing, computer architecture that mimics the way the human brain works and which can train artificial intelligence systems on far less data. So they're way faster at learning and use way less energy, hopefully without the downsides of the human brain, such as getting super distracted by cat pictures all the time, believing every damn thing you read on the internet, and making up stories about how your friend probably hates you because they replied to your text with 1K. And finally, one last edition of working from home do's and don'ts. Sean O'Shea on Twitter says, do make sure PowerPoint is in presentation mode for remote sharing, presumably because otherwise the slides are just tiny and you spoil your big reveals and everybody can see your notes. You might as well just send an email then. Do set yourself a timer to remind yourself to stop working. Without the forcing function of a commute, a lot of you are just hanging out at your desks until well into the night. Maybe you can download an audio file of that old Flintstones quitting time bell. And finally, please go into the weekend with this one piece of advice from me to you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Check in on your loved ones. Do the right thing for your community. Hug your kids and critters. And don't forget to mute your mics. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Jody Becker is our senior editor. Robin Edgar is our engineer. And everybody is crushing it. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.